Seeing Yiddish Kodesh had a heilige son, Rabbi Machmel from Shischa. And with the Petira of the Yiddish Kodesh, so the Talmidim, there was a divide. Many went to Rabbunim from Shischa, and many went to the son of the Yiddish Kodesh, Rabbi Machmel. Something very, very unique about this tzaddik, Rabbi Machmel. When his father passed away, so he was boireach min harabonas. He didn't want b'shum oifin to accept being a rebbe. And for 13, 14 years, he was able to dodge it. But whenever anybody would come to try to impress upon him to be a rebbe, to be mekabel as maris, it's different nuschos of what exactly happened, but the most extreme nusach is that he had an axe that he carried with him in his home. And if people would come to the door to ask him to be a rebbe, he would come out with an axe and he would chase them away. Because he says, to be a rebbe, try to push me into being a rebbe is ritzicha. The Chazal say, habol lahargecha hashkem lahargai. Somebody tries to kill you, you have to kill them first. So he took it with such a chaymer. So for 13, 14 years, he was able to dodge being a rebbe. What happened? It was very much b'yedidus with the Sava Kavisha from Radishit. We spoke about him a couple years ago. He was traveling with the Sava Kadisha in a wagon. And the Rebbe Yachmiel was so impoverished, mamash nothing. Ad Ein L'Shire, it says. And he had a daughter who was in the parish of Shiduchim. And he told the Sava Kadisha while they were traveling about his woes in the Tzaris, that he's getting a lot of different Shiduch offers. But he has to come up with an Adunya. He has to be able to come up with some type of a sum of money to be able to support the chassan, to be family. And he couldn't come up with the money. So time is going by and there's no shidduch. So the Sabbat Kaddisha just said this. He says, a Rebbe like you doesn't have money? He says, after those words came out of his mouth that he called him a Rebbe. A Rebbe like you doesn't have money? After that, he mamash became a Rebbe. He says, the swarms of people who were coming to him after that, He couldn't stop them with the axe. There was nothing which could be done. It was just, they were coming with fitlach left and right, and a whole army of people came, and they made him into a rebbe. And all of the tzaris which he had in Parnassah, they all went away after that comment of the Sabbat Kaddisha. Rebbe like you doesn't have money. Just like that, overnight, it was done. Now tonight is Rosh Chodesh, and he had an inyu with the Sabbat Kaddisha that every Erev Rosh Chodesh, they would get together. There was a river which divided the city of Pshedvords and Radishitz, where they both were. And they would come and meet each other at that river. And they would decide for the coming month what would happen in the world. And Tzadik Yamas, you know, they had input in that. And between the two of them, they were calling the shots as to what the world should look like for the coming month. Something very unique about the Rebbe Rachmiel is that for those 13 years or so that he evaded being the Rebbe, he went into the business of being a watchmaker. And he had very, very deep in yonim when it came to watches, clocks. It says that he had a clock on his table at all times. He would always change the clocks, different clocks, broken clocks, fixed clocks. And even when he would daven, he kept a clock in front of him. And the tzaddikim said that the Rebbe from Mogilanitsa said that I once observed the Rebbe while he was davening, and I got a sneak peek, and his eyes were bulging out of his head, and his face was like the face of a malach, it was on fire, but the whole time he had his hands on the clock. And he said, I don't know what he wanted to do with that clock, but I know one thing, is that he had such a spacious agashmias that in order to keep himself grounded in this world, he had to have his hands on the clock. They say a story like that by the name of the malach too, that he would hold on to a watch and to a clock during Kedusha Keser, so that Shama shouldn't leave him. So he said, Rebbe Rachmiel also, he had his hand on the clock, so he shouldn't be careful, he should lose himself in his tefillas.
All right.
He says, until this day, I remember the sweetness of that tefillah. He said he was mamash petrified to see that scene. We'll get back to the clocks in a moment. His father once said about his goyness, he said that when I learn a sugya, I learn it in such depth, said the Yiddish Kaddish. You know, the Yiddish Kaddish was a goyin olam. many rebbes were, but the Yid HaKadosh was known around the world for his gaonis. He says, I have 400 mahalchim in a sugya. Imagine how we look, you know, struggling for one mahalach. The Yid HaKadosh says, I have 400 mahalchim in a sugya. When I tell it over to the Talmidim, he says, the best of my Talmidim understands 7 of them, but my son Yerachmiel understands 15 of them. 16. But the rest of them, nobody knows. Nobody can understand. He says, 15, 16 mahalchim. That was like a gaoness that he had. When he was young, so his father asked him to bring him like a type of a coal, something to light his lulka, and he didn't have matches and lighters. So he says, as a young boy, so he went to bring a coal. He says, the tata says to bring a coal, so he bring a coal. So he picked up the coal, and it was burning his hands, so he was flipping it from hand to hand like a hot potato so that it shouldn't burn him. When his father saw him doing that, he says, this is how you do kibbut avayim. So then he heard that, he held it in his hand, and he said that I still have the mark on my hand from the kibbut avayim which I had from, you know, I thought the Rebbe Zinyonim with that, why he would want his son. He says, but he still had the mark on his hand his whole life from the burn on the coal that he was mekayim kibbut avayim with mesiras nefesh. Once he had on his table, there was a clock, there was a broken clock, and nobody was able to fix it. So they brought it to Rabbi Yerachmiel. So he put it on his table, and he started during at the tish, he started looking at the clock, opened it up, took out all the pieces, and he made a comment, and he said, everything is fine in this clock. Once he took everything out, he says, oh, everything is fine in this clock. He says there was a certain hair which had a single bend. All it needed to do was just to be bent back into its place. So after he said that, the whole oilam who was sitting there started to bawl. Everybody started to cry. They understood the depths of what he was saying. He says with that hair that he did on the clock, he was ma'ar the whole oilam's hairs in tshuva. That's what they said. All of our hairs were ma'ar in tshuva. Whatever tweaking anybody needed inside their neshamas with that fixing of that clock, the whole oilam was able to do a big tshuva from that. Once there was a chevev tzaddikim, says the names here, that they went into the Rebbe from Kotsk, the Kotsk Rebbe. You know, to see the Kotsk was not easy and everything was very deep and sussum. So in the middle of the conversation with the Kotzker Rebbe, he said something about the Rebbe Chmiel from Pshischa. He made a comment like this, very sussum. He says, the Rebbe Rachmiel from Pshischa, he holds on very, very tight. That's what he said. He holds on very tight. Which means that he holds on to him very tight, his dveikus with him. But, you know, he was a watchmaker, so not everybody knew like he was a serious Rebbe. So there was a certain like chevra of tzaddikim who were standing outside, and the people who were in came out and they said, you know, the Rebbe said over Yechmiel that, you know, he holds on very tight. So one of the things says, yeah, he has everybody fooled. So I'm not sure who made the comment, but one of the other tzaddikim, he says, no, he has you fooled. You're the one who's fooled. And that's exactly the point. He says he was big makabel kvitlach, and he wouldn't see women. They weren't allowed to come into his cheder, which we shall say. And what happened was is that they would hand the kvitlach to the gabbai, and they would bring it into him, and he was already preparing himself for tefillah, and as he was putting on his tefillah, he was already pacing in the room, back and forth. And he noticed there was a kvittel on the table and some money. And he picked it up and he took it as he was pacing back and forth. And he gave it to the gabbai and said, send it back to the woman who brought it to me. And they were very surprised about that. But after some drishas and chakiras, they found out that this woman was a zayna. And the money itself was like an esnan zayna, which means that it was money that was paid to her for her services. So he said there was so mispoil, not that he had, not just that he had the Ruach HaKodesh and understanding that, but he was already in the Oilamas because he was making Hachanas for Tzvila. Even though he was making Hachanas for Tzvila and he was in the Oilamas, he was still able to see that, they said, was Mamash Agala. He was able to, why would he have any Shaykhs to that at that point? But it was the Trefus in the room and he was Margishit and send it back. Certain Yid who came to Tav Shisra, and apparently the Rebbe had a minog that the Oilim would daven downstairs, on the main floor, and on the top floor, that's where the Rebbe would daven, like above the Oilim. And he said he had a certain inyan in the middle of davening, like he would open up the Pesach, and he would look down at a certain point during davening. Anyway, so there was a Yid who came. He said he wanted to speak with the Rebbe. And he was dressed very different than other Chassidim. He was wearing like green. That was what he was wearing, green clothes. And the Rebbe told him that he'll meet with him after davening. You wait down here, and I'm going to go upstairs. I'll meet with you after davening. So he took a sefer. And the Rebbe was davening upstairs. In the middle of davening, Kaminhag B'Kodesh, he opened up the bottom, and he looked down there. And as soon as he looked down, so the man in green, he picked up and he ran out of the room. Ran out of the shul. So he sent his shamish to go find him. He says, "Where's the man in green?" He's able to find him. And the Rebbe told him, "Take the man in green and take him to the basic forest. Take him to the basic forest." So he comes back to the Gabbai and he asks the Rebbe, like, what's going on over here? So he said, this is the story. When I was 8 years old, I was sleeping in a room right outside where my father was learning. And I was tired, like an 8-year-old should be, middle of the night. At 2 o'clock in the morning, it was very cold winter, my father came to where I was resting and he woke me up and he says, "Go wash your hands and come with me." It was very hard for me. I was tired. I wasn't going to say no to my father. And he showed me this person. It was a neshama. It was a neshama. And he says, "Go take him to the basic class." I says, I was 8-year-old boy, and he's telling me, showing me neshamas, taking them to the basic class. I was very surprised and overcome. So he said, "If my father said to me, are you afraid?" So he says, "So here, take a candle. take a torch, whatever it is that you need, and take it." So I did, took it, and I took him to the basic forest. But when I got there, I said to him, "So go, lech l'menucha secha, go, have a good eternity." When I told him that, so he put out my fire, and he disappeared, and he ran away. And I was very afraid. To come back to my father, tell him I failed the shlichus, that I was supposed to take this neshama to bury him. So I was feeling very weak. And when I came back to my father and he noticed, he says, "What's wrong?" I told him what happened, that he put it out and he ran away. So my father was very upset, not at me. And he says, "Such a rasha, has a chutzpah to do this to my son." He says, this he's going to have to go to the Gehenna this year for doing that to you. So he says, many years later, he came back and he regretted what he had done, and he needed to have a kfura. And I remember what my father told me, that I should send him to the Gehenna. So he says, "But no, how can I have to have Rachmanis on another year?" So instead of sending him to the Gehenna, I sent him back to the Kvei Sukkar. So Yid once came to him and he was a tailor. And the pirates, the local pirates, had commissioned him to put together a beged using some special cloth that he had purchased and brought from Paris. And he heard about this tailor. He was the best out there, and he hired him to put together this beged. So the parrots and for his wife, he makes the beged, works very hard. He comes, he presents it to them, they put it on, seems to fit, everything looks nice. So the wife of the parrots is screaming at him. He says, how could you make a beged like this? What is this? This is how you tailor a garment. She takes it off, he takes it off, they throw it in his face, they throw him out of the palace, whatever. And he's mamish dejected. So he doesn't know what to do. So he says, I'll go to the Rebbe. Maybe the Rebbe has an Eitzah, because at that time, because he was shamed in that way, nobody was using him for business anymore. He was the best tailor in town, now he had nothing left. So go to the Rebbe, Yachmil. So the Rebbe Yachmil says, where's the beged? He shows him the beged, the gun. He says, okay, this is what you need to do. Take off the stitches, everything which you did, and then do it again the exact same way, which you did it before, and then give it to them. Make the difference? Okay, the Rebbe says. So he does it, takes it apart, puts it back together again, hands it to the pirates and to the wife. They put it on. Wow, amazing. You did such a good job. You fixed it up. The first time was terrible, but now you really did it right. So it comes back to the Rebbe. He doesn't understand. Thinks it's like a big maifis. So the Rebbe says, no, this is what happened. He says, the first time when you made it, you were thinking to yourself when you made it, ah, oh, I'm the tailor of the pirates. And when you put it together, you did it with a gaiva. But gaiva has a stench. A gaiva smells. And they were able to smell your gaiva on it. He says, now that you're brokenhearted and you put it together the exact same way, so anova has chen. And when they saw the anova this time in the beggar, that's why they liked it. Before the ptira of Rav Meishela from Koznitz, so he said a very interesting thing before he passed away. He says, you know what? And the Rebbe Yachmil was there. He says, I'm thinking that I would tell my chassidim after I pass away to go to Pshischa. But what should I do? I know that the Rebbe from Pshischa, or Yachmil, he's a kapdan. And I don't want to send my chassidim to a Rebbe who's makbid. It's Rebbe Yachmil sitting there. He says, why can you say such things about me? He says, ask my chever, ask my oilam. And he says, and don't you know? He says that, you know, every Shabbos we say, Hoydil Hashem Kitav Kedam Chasa Halal Hagadol. And each one of these stanzas in Halal Hagadol corresponds to another malach and goes in the Seder of the Aleph base. Like the Aleph, Hoydil Hashem, is Akasriel, and then Barchiel, and then Chule Bechule, Gavriel. So he says, don't you know that the, it doesn't go in alphabetical, maybe not alphabetical order. It doesn't make sense here. So he says that when you come to the pasuk shebishiflenu zachar lano kiyudu lamchasta, that you remember us in our state of shiflos, in our state of our lowliness, that the malach for that pasuk is Yerachmiel. That was his name. He says, how could you say about me that I'm a kaftan? He says, the pasuk says Yerachmiel shebishiflenu. So the Rebbe of Moshe Kosh says, oh, that's a good raya. It's a good raya. So he says, okay, I'm asking. What the Shaykh is chesedish, but when he heard that, he said that was a good raya, and he said, I'm sending them to Pshischa. One of the stories with the clocks and the mamash, the poil yeshuas for people who would bring him clocks and fix the clocks, and people had all types of yeshuas, but that was mamash, a special Indian by him. You didn't find by the tzaddik in there. He was a clocksmaker. 13 years, he was a clockmaker. So one of his Samidim of Hakim. The Rebbe from Magantia, he said, when he was bearing the Rebbe Chmiel next to his father, the Yiddikadish, he threw himself on the cave of the Yiddikadish, and he says, Rebbe, he says, we're bringing you your son now, the Ben HaKadosh. I made on him that the 13 years which he spent making clocks was like 13 years of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai in the cave. So he said, say such a shprach like that. Shvach like that. 13 years making clocks. It's like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai in the cave. So the Olam was mamish. I was so misspoiled from that. He turns to the Olam and he says, you're going to find another Rebbe, but I have no other Rebbe to find. When I wanted to know what was going on in Himmel, Shemaim, I'd come to the Rebbe Yechmiel and say, tell me what's going on in Shemaim, and he would tell me. Am I going to find another tzaddik today? Not only what's going on in this world, what's going on in the next world, but I can come and he can tell me what's going on. Such a Rebbe is irreplaceable. 13 years making clocks. 13 years in the cave.